Welcome to Big Blue Hits Live right here on Giants.com. The Giants getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. Dan and Caroline on Sunday trying to get their first win on the board in 2013. Panthers 0-2 as well. The Giants, of course, beat the Panthers last year down there. One of the most decisive wins of the season. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Schmoke. We're joined by Michael Eisen. Of course, he's the beat reporter, for Giants.com. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
All right, let's go to the Adorama news of the day. And really, that comes out of Carolina, where we found out today that four of their defensive backs are going to be out for the game on Sunday against the Giants. We knew about Charles Godfrey. He tore up his knee last week. His replacement, Quentin Michael, is not going to play with an ankle injury. And then DJ Moore and Josh Thomas, they will miss that game as well. Mike, it could be a chance for this Giants passing attack to get well.
Well, it already is well, John. The Giants lead the league lead the NFL in passing yards already. Part of that is because they've played from behind a lot and they haven't run the ball well, but the Giants' passing game is already healthy, and you have to think that against a Carolina secondary that is extremely depleted at this point, that they'll be able to complete a few passes and gain a lot of yards through the air.
Now let's take a look at the Giants' injury report, and one thing that was a bit of a surprise today is Corey Webster, who did miss practice the last couple of days, is being listed as doubtful with a hip injury. And Mike, this kind of came out of left field.
Well, he didn't practice yesterday. So in a way it did, because he was not listed as injured after the game last week. But things crop up during the week. It's interesting, Corey Webster has the third longest starting streak on the team after Eli Manning and Antrell Roll, so his absence will certainly be felt. But if Aaron Ross plays, another veteran player, started in the Super Bowl, Giants should be fine.
And Aaron Ross will get the start. And by the way, we are taking your calls on Big Blue Hits on Friday. It is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. And Mike, you mentioned Aaron Ross getting the start for the Giants. And he is always ready to start. He didn't play one defensive snap last week, but he always is preparing. Every week he's always going to start. And he might do that this Sunday.
You never know what's going to happen. Like the first week, Prince went down and I had to come in and step in and know the plays, know what was going on, know the formations, know what Romo likes to do. So I prepare like I'm a starter every week, no matter if I play or not.
And Mike, Aaron Ross is a guy that was brought here as a reserve and someone that provides a safety net, and that's exactly what he's going to provide on Sunday. The Giants have an awful lot of experience depth at that cornerback position.
Well, they do, and they need it. It's interesting that, I got a lot of letters in the offseason about Corey Webster. Why do the Giants keep Corey Webster? He had a bad season in 2012. He should be replaced. And now he's not playing, and, you know, people are, oh, no, we're losing Corey Webster. So it's interesting that it's gone 180 degrees. But Aaron Ross, as you said, is a veteran. And, I don't think the Giants are going to lose much, if anything, with him starting.
And I guess what the Giants decided to do with this depth chart, Mike, was keep Hosley and Thomas as the inside guys. And Ross, based on the fact he didn't play much last week, is going to be the backup on the outside.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Tom Coughlin declined to answer that question about Terrell Thomas today, whether he would move outside. That's always a possibility. I would assume if something happened to Ross, knock on wood, Terrell would move outside, and then you've got Hosley to play the slot. But I think at this point, Terrell's best position is in the slot. He has said that. He hasn't practiced much on the outside, so it makes sense for Aaron to play outside.
Of course, the Giants have given up a lot of points in these past two games, but it's really hidden the fact that this secondary has played pretty well this year. They've kept teams out of the end zone, and they haven't allowed a lot of big plays through the air. Aaron Ross tells us why.
I think we're doing a better job in being on the same page. We do a lot of film study together in the classroom and when we get out of here. So I think that was the biggest downfall last year with talking to those guys, that it was too many mental busts. The guys weren't on the same page. And this year, that's something that we don't want to let happen.
And, Mike, we've heard it over these past couple of years, heck, 2, 3, 4 years. When the Giants make these mistakes, it's miscommunications. It's not knowing where you're supposed to be. It's guys looking at each other after the ball is in the air. I was supposed to be here. You were supposed to be there. You haven't really seen that once yet this year.
No, you haven't. And that was something they worked on in the offseason. And it's also more impressive considering the fact that in the offseason they worked on it when Stevie Brown was there. Now Stevie Brown's not there. You've moved Ryan Mundy in, so you've got a new player in the back of the defense. And it's also impressive in the fact that the Giants just haven't had much of a pass rush this year, which puts a lot more pressure on the secondary, and the defensive backs are still performing very well. So hopefully Sunday they'll get some pressure on Cam Newton, and the backs will play as well as they have, and the defense will come together.
Not to mention the fact that in weeks 1 and 2, you're facing Tony Romo with Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, right. Jason Witten. Week 2, you got Peyton Manning with Wes Welker, Denarius Thomas, and Eric Decker. Still no really big plays over the top through the air. A couple things in the sideline, but nothing that's going to kill you for long touchdowns.
Yeah, and they've got to really keep it up because now you have Cam Newton and Steve Smith. So.
And the last 2 years, the Panthers led the league in plus 20-yard plays.
Yeah, they're very good. So, but, you know, again, the defensive backs are off to a very good start. Hopefully they'll keep it up because there's a lot of challenges like this over the last 14 games.
And, of course, Cam Newton, the very dangerous quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, a very different quarterback than what the Giants played in Weeks 1 and Week 2 this year. Now, the Panthers do have a brand-new offensive coordinator this year. Mike Shula, who was their quarterback's coach last season, replaced Rob Chudzinski, who moved on and is now in Cleveland. So a little bit of a different offense, the same personnel, but a little bit more conservative, not as much read option, and some shorter passes. We'll be back to talk more about this matchup with Michael Eisen right after this on Giants.com. Big Blue Hits.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
The road to victory is paved Giants blue. And that road runs through only one network. Yep, MSG. Where Big Blue fans get the best Big Blue shows. Like Giants First and 10. 10 things fans need to know for Sunday's game.
Touchdown Giants!
And there's Giants Rewind, where Bob Papa and Carl Banks break down last Sunday's game. Yeah, Giants First and 10 and Giants Rewind. Just two reasons why the only true blue home for true blue fans is MSG.
We're back on Big Blue Hits Live right here on Giants.com. Happy Friday afternoon, everybody. We are taking your calls on Big Blue Hits at 201-939-4513. We have some callers on the line. Let's get to them and not waste any time. Let's go to Ernest in Connecticut first. Ernest, you're on with John Schmoke and Michael Eisen. How are you?
Yeah, fine, yourself?
I'm doing great, Ernest. What's on your mind?
Yes, I want to ask a couple of questions, but I want to make a statement. One is that I think Kevin Gilbert needs to leave because he comes up with that predictable offense every single year. And number two, why isn't Eli Manning getting a lot of the blame for those passes?
Ernest, in fairness, I think Eli Manning's got a lot of heat over these first two games based on the fact he's had 7 interceptions. He has made some bad decisions. He's admitted it. I think he's gotten a lot of heat in the press, Mike. But a lot of times, he's been put in situations where he has to force the ball down the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the last 2 interceptions against Denver, the Giants are 3 touchdowns down. You're just trying to make a play, maybe taking more chances than you should. you know, a fourth and 10 in the end zone. I mean, the ball's intercepted. If the Broncos had made a smart play, they wouldn't have even intercepted the ball. They would have just knocked it down. It cost them about 25 yards. There was a fluke play, the ball going off the defensive back's ankle. He admitted the interception just prior to halftime last week was a poor decision on his part. So I don't think it's all his fault. I think it's fluky and circumstantial or situational. But I think he has taken some heat, and you know, it's justified. There are seven interceptions.
And I have to earn a second point, and that's on offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbert. I know a lot of fans get upset. They say he's predictable. We know a play's coming. Well, if he's so predictable, how come the Giants have been a top-five offense consistently since he's been here the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I know the criticism, and I've written about this on Giants.com numerous times. I don't know. The Giants scored 429 points last year. They, as you said, they're annually ranked among the top offenses in the league. They set franchise records in yards and points under Gilbride. I don't really understand the criticism. They're really one of the most productive offenses consistently in the NFL under Kevin Gilbride.
Remember, Eli Manning's never played under a different offensive coordinator either, so who knows how he would be effective if Kevin Gilbride wasn't the offensive coordinator anymore. Let's go back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Tony is down in Maryland. Tony, good afternoon.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Tone?
That's good. I was wondering, two questions, about Kerry Rhodes. Are we still looking into signing him? That's one. And two, with the lack of production from the running back spot, are we thinking about going for more four wideout shotgun spreads?
Well, Kerry Rhodes, as was widely reported, was in here for a tryout, a visit on Tuesday. As of now, the Giants have not shown interest in signing him. As to your other question, you know, Tom Coughlin was asked again this week about the offense and the lack of the running game, and he really wants to achieve that balance that he so often talks about. So, you know, I don't think there will be more four wides, although, again, with the Panthers being so depleted in the secondary, that could change the equation this week in Carolina.
You want to have balance, but they should have a lot of opportunities.
You want to score points to win the game.
No question about it. And that's the thing. A lot of people said the Giants didn't commit to the run last week. They didn't run the ball enough. Well, when six out of your first 19 rushes are for negative or 0 yards, do you want to keep putting your quarterback into second and third and long and give them a green light to rush the passer?
No, I don't think so. And then, obviously, in the fourth quarter, they weren't going to run the ball because they were well down. You know, the lead ballooned from 1 to 21 or 22 pretty quickly.
Let's stick on the phones and go to Alex in California, 201-939-4513. Alex, go ahead. Alex, you there, pal? I think we lost Alex there, Mike. And I want to talk a little bit about the Giants' pass rush here because you mentioned it the last couple of weeks. You haven't got a ton of pressure on Peyton Manning and Tony Romo. Now, some of that's the fact that they're getting rid of the ball quickly. But even without the sacks, you like a couple more times you knock the guy down and you hit him after he releases the football.
Yeah, no question. You want the hits and the pressures, and the Giants have not gotten that either. Sometimes sacks can be misleading. In this case, it appears they're really not because the Giants have not been around the quarterback enough. They had a couple of opportunities. I think Tom Coughlin actually said five times they could have perhaps sacked Peyton Manning and didn't do it once. That just can't continue. You just put too much pressure on the back of your defense when you do that.
Now, Mike, last year the Giants did put a lot of pressure on Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. But Jason Pierre-Paul, one of the guys that did it, says last year's game doesn't have much to do with what's going to happen on Sunday.
Well, we beat them last year. Hopefully, you know, they got a whole new team. You know, we got a whole new team. You know, we could do it on the pass, but at the end of the day, the pass doesn't matter.
We'll hear more from Jason Pierre-Paul when we come back from this break. But, Mike, how much does this game stick in the craw of Carolina, and how much are they thinking about that embarrassing loss last year on national TV, and are they extra motivated for this game on Sunday?
Well, I think they would be, at which, by the way, that game was a year ago tonight, sort of nice symmetry there. But, yeah, anytime you lose by 29 points on your home field, it's embarrassing. Perhaps there is a little extra incentive because of that. But, really, I think the incentive for each team here is they're 0-2, and it's very rare that an 0-3 team winds up making the playoffs.
When we come back, we'll hear more from Jason Pierre-Paul on how he's rounding into shape from his knee injury. But first, let's continue to look back at last year's big win the Giants had over the Panthers and take a look at the sights and sounds from that game from last season.
New York Giants football is on the air from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the New York Football Giants taking on the Carolina Panthers.
Came a long way. Still got a lot to go, though.
This the NFC East. We wild enough. We bang. That's what we going to do tonight. We going to bang these boys and go home 2-1. I'm tired of this.
It
shouldn't be close to us this week. Let's go ball our ass off and go back home.
G-Man on three. 1, 2, 3.
G-Man!
Manning in a shotgun set. Panthers bring pressure. Manning throws to the end zone. Touchdown, Giants. Martellus Bennett on the seam. And Bennett with the touchdown grab. And the Giants strike on their opening possession. Newton's going to run it. Newton's going to turn left. Hit by Pierre. Ball and stop. No gain. JPP says you're down with me.
You close on the dive. Keep closing. Take him to the ground. Every time you close down
there. Okay?
No receivers in the game. Give for Brown. He runs left. Touchdown, Giants. Newton takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's back to throw. He's under pressure and he gets sacked. Back at the 45-yard line. O.C. Umanura joins the party. Giants show blitz with the linebackers, and here they come. Newton back to throw. Stands in the pocket. His pass through the foul. Intercepted off the deflection by the Giants. Picked off by Hosley. He gets back up, and he's running to the 40, to the 35, and gets shouldered down there.
Nice work, Blue.
New York Giants improved to 2-1 as they dominate with a capital D, the Carolina Panthers. The final score here in Charlotte, the Giants 36 and the Panthers 7.
First thing I want to do is let's give a hand to the coaches. What up? That type of week, what an outstanding job the coaches did. Now how about a hand for the players? Things are possible for those who believe. That's a great job, man. That's a good football team out there. That's a hell of a job. Let's have a team. 1, 2, 3.
Team!
And the Giants still believe at 0-2. A very happy locker room for the Giants after that big win against the Carolina Panthers. Haven't had a lot of those so far this year, Mike, unfortunately.
I haven't had any so far this year. But, again, hopefully we'll get back on. Maybe Charlotte's a good luck city for the Giants now.
Let's go back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Kelsey is in Missouri. Kelsey, good afternoon.
Hello. I guess my thing is kind of in the beef with Gilbride. I don't disapprove of his play calling so much as I guess sometimes it doesn't make sense. When we're down in a game, on third and 20s, he's doing halfback screens that barely get 5 yards or even past the line of scrimmage if we're lucky. And then in other instances, we're not even across the 50 on second and shorts, and he's trying to drop a bomb halfway down the field. I don't really think it's bad play calling so much as erratic. Does that make sense?
Well, Kelsey, I understand what you're saying, but in certain circumstances, at third and 20, you're deep in your own territory. You don't want to try to get the first down there because you could have a turnover, you could have an interception, and that's how you pile up picks like Eli has so far this year.
Well, also, I just think it's funny that people criticize Kevin Gilbride for being predictable, and this caller says he's going against the grain and doing things that maybe you wouldn't expect, and he's being criticized for being unpredictable. So he can't win.
And it's funny. You're right about it. And here's the funny thing about it. People complain about different things. Some people say they don't run enough. Other people say you don't commit to the run. Right. Well, you can't run the ball, so you have to throw it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to really tell exactly where people have the beef. I think you lose games, you try to point fingers at one person.
Well, you do what you have to do to win that particular game. That's what you do. That's how you call the plays. And it's not to establish a pattern or anything. It's just, what can I do to win this particular game? And maybe, what Kelsey alluded to, it's second and short, and you're throwing a bomb. Well, maybe you can catch the defense off guard. Maybe that's the best time to throw a long pass.
Mike, back to our
think you're going to dive for the short first down.
Excuse me, Mike. Sorry about that. Back to our phones at 201-939-4513. I think we have Sam in Indiana. I'm sorry. Hussein in Indiana. Hussein, what's going on?
I would like to talk about the game, like how they lost OCU Manero.
Okay. Well, look, the Giants lost some defensive linemen in the offseason, Hussam, but I really think they've done a good job of restocking their defensive line. They have a lot of good tackles, Mike, and they're playing some really good football right now stopping the run.
Yeah, no question. Stopping the run has not been a problem thus far. The Giants added, other than Linval Joseph, the whole tackle corps is new this year. And Cullen Jenkins, Mike Patterson, Sean Rogers, Jonathan Hankins hasn't gotten a play yet, but the Giants did a very good job of restocking the tackle spot. And also, this is not really fair to him, but Chris Candy is doubtful for the Baltimore Ravens this week.
Oh, is he? I didn't notice that. What's wrong with him?
I forgot what the injury is, but it looks like he's not going to play. So,
and speaking of those defensive tackles, by the way, the run defense, it's really been hidden in the weeds because other teams have scored so many points. I think that run defense has been particularly good this season.
Well, it has, and Denver had run very well against Baltimore, and they didn't get much on the ground last week against the Giants. And Carolina has long been known for its running game. And, Carolina has hurt the Giants in the past with a good rushing attack. You remember the game in Giants Stadium in 2009. So the run defense has to come up big this week.
Let's go back to our phones at 201-939-4513. David is in Maryland. David, how are you?
Good. I was calling to see how far is DP away from being healthy.
I'm sorry. Say that again, David.
How far is DPP away from being healthy? Because it seems like he's not getting as much push right now. I'm not going to understand that with his back injury. But how far is he away from being healthy?
Well, JPP is getting closer to 100%. He's not quite there yet, but he's getting there. And, Mike, he made the point in practice this week that he's looking and feeling as good as he has all year.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure it's a question of health anymore, John. It's just people have to remember, he didn't participate in a lot of the off-season program. He missed all of training camp. You just can't step in and expect to play at a high level, or in his case, a Pro Bowl level, when you haven't practiced for months. And this is really still, for him, this is almost like the third week of training camp still. So he's rounding into form, and I think he's getting better. And hopefully that'll start to show Sunday.
Well, Mike, and we heard from Jason Pierre-Paul earlier in the week, and he basically said just that.
I feel like I'm close. You know, it has been time I got to the pass rusher, you know, the quarterback, I meant. And, you know, yeah, it was like a second too late, you know. And I'm getting there, and I'm getting my step back in my game.
Mike, and the other thing you got to worry about, too, in terms of the pass rush, even if Jason Pierre-Paul's not getting there, you'd like to see a couple other guys give some contributions. I think Justin Tuck's been pretty active. He's a half a sack. But you really haven't heard Mathias Kiwanuka's name mentioned in terms of getting after the quarterback a whole lot in these first two games.
No, Justin Tuck actually leads the Giants in tackles after two games.
Very active.
Very unusual for a defensive end. I think Kiwi would be the first to tell you he's got to do more. DeMontre Moore has not had really a chance to play yet. One snap, he showed a lot in that first preseason game and has basically done nothing since. So hope maybe he'll get an opportunity. But yeah, it's always the best pass rushers are always group efforts.
No doubt about it. And the Giants have a lot of options now in the defensive line, Mike, heading into this game. Are you going to see a lot of DeMontre Moore? Are you going to see maybe Cullen Jenkins play a little end to get those good run stuffers in the middle to improve the run defense? The Giants with a ton of options, we'll see what they do. We'll be back with more breakdown of Giants and Panthers when we come back right after this on Big Beagle Hits Live on Giants.com.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go. Giants.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Back here on Big Blue Hits Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Michael Eisen. We're taking your calls at 201-939-4513. And Mike, let's move on to the Carolina Panthers here. Obviously a unique challenge, and they are a little bit different from last year with a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they're a little more conservative in their play calling and their game management, which is interesting considering they have a quarterback who seems to do well when he freelances, when he takes off on the run. He's such a good running quarterback, but Shula's way. And they still have a lot of the same personnel, so it's really just a different philosophy.
They might know that about it. Let's hear from Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul. He spoke about Cam Newton and the dual threat that he poses to the Giants on Sunday.
He's one of those quarterbacks you got to watch out for. You know, you don't know if he's going to run or throw the ball. You know, the read option, whatever. You know, that's the type of quarterback he is, and you know he's a good quarterback. You know, but with our defense, we should be able to stop him. You know, I think that we play those type of quarterbacks very well. You know, in this league, and that's gonna be a challenge, and I'm all up for challenges. Right? That's something I would never back down from.
And Mike, not as much designed running for Cam Newton. The read option is something they use, but is no longer the staple of their offense.
No, I think they'd rather use their running backs, because they have a very good stable of running backs, to run the ball and get him going more as a passer. But I think, he's got a lot of ability, and as we said, he's very good at freelancing, and I just think sometimes he's got the itch to run, and he's going to take off and do it.
Yeah, I get the feeling Dave Gettleman got there, and he's like, hold on a second. Yeah. I don't want my quarterback taking this many hits by doing all these design runs.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And the funny thing, though, he's big like a linebacker. He could probably take and handle a little bit more contact than your typical quarterback.
It's interesting. It's like the philosophy I've always believed in about running backs, it's the big guys who take the worst hits because they're bigger targets. It's the little guys who can step out of the way and are quicker that don't absorb the big hits as much. So I think Newton, if he does run, is going to get hit a lot, hard.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. David is down in Oklahoma. David, how are you? Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. Basically, I know that we all have our opinions, and, you know, we beat ourselves against Dallas. I believe we just got outplayed by the Broncos. But I had the Giants down as being 0-2 to start off this season just because I feel like we split against Dallas. And Denver, I think, is on their own level. But I think that we'll be fine. I had us finishing with 10 wins this season, even though we started off 0-2 in my little, you know, mind. So maybe I'm just optimistic, but I think we'll be okay.
Hey, well, David, look. And I think that's a reasonable way to look at things. You knew the first two games of the year, Mike, were going to be very tough. Obviously, you would like to have won one or two of those games. Yeah. But now you have a must-win in Carolina. And not to look ahead, I don't want Coach Coughlin to storm down here and throw us off the set. But the Chiefs in Week 4 in Kansas City, that is now turning into what looks like one of the more difficult games on the whole schedule.
Yeah, that's why, to me, you can never really predict. You know, you look and say, well, they're going to win this game. You don't know. I mean, who knew prior to the season that the Chiefs game would potentially be one of the toughest games on the schedule? But now the Chiefs are 3-0. Do I think the Giants can finish with 10 wins? I think they have the talent to, yeah, but I don't know who's going to get injured, and I don't know, you know, when they're just going to have a clunker of a game or, you know, when the opposition is going to play its best. So that's why you take it week by week. I would just like to see them beat the Carolina Panthers this week.
That also means they have to go 10-4 the rest of the way, considering the strength of schedule in the NFC East. That's always a little bit tough. Mike, what's your keys to victory for the Giants on Sunday against Carolina?
Well, I think because that secondary, as we discussed, John, is so bang. I mean, they're missing three or four very good players. I think the Giants have to take advantage of that with their passing game. And the Giants are healthy there. They certainly have a great quarterback in Eli Manning. I think really the Giants have to take advantage of a depleted and the Carolina secondary.
But to do that, they have to give Eli Manning time to throw. The Carolina pass rush and linebacking core is strong.
Oh, their front seven is outstanding. There's no question about it. But I think they'll find a way to give Eli enough time to take advantage of it.
Mike, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank you so much. John.
Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com. All weekend long, you'll see Giants First and 10, which also airs, of course, on MSG. Hit the website over the weekend. And tomorrow, check out Preview Report as Paul Dottino and I break down everything New York Giants and Carolina Panthers. For Michael Eisen, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everyone.